Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's a great psalm. Turn your Bibles, Isaiah 58, Isaiah 58. It's interesting, there's a lot of stories in the Bible, instruction in the Bible, things that are written for our learning and our admonition, and things that we do because they're right to do. It's real easy to make things just a habit and where our hearts are really not involved in it. And that is not what is the case here that we're going to see as we go through the scripture today. Isaiah chapter 58, and I don't know if you've ever taken time and fasted and prayed about anything, but it's a very powerful thing. It's not a requirement, but it's something that is really something that you can get a hold of God. That's the whole focus of your time. In verse 6, it says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke?" God really responds to prayer. Prayer is a wonderful, wonderful privilege that we have as believers. We drop down to verse 8, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy re-reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light arise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." This may sound real familiar. I've preached out of this text many, many times, and it's just a wonderful promise. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." There's a verse that says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And we've gathered today because we are honoring the Lord. The Lord is going to speak to us through his word. We speak to him in prayer. We have fellowship with the believers. And I think that's a wonderful thing. I have been pastoring and preaching for a little over 45 years. I've been to the mission fields, many of them. I took a whole year one time and traveled all over America and preached in churches, started a couple churches. I'm saying that not in any boastful way. I'm just saying it to let you know I have seen some things about a local church. And as we get into the scriptures today, God wants to bless our church. God wants to use our church. He wants to really minister through us. Amen? And we're not talking about numbers. We're talking about what God wants to do. But we certainly want to be available, a repair of the breach, a restore of paths. And as the days go on and our country seems to be going in, well, the world seems to be going in the wrong direction, there's a lot of people that need the Lord. Amen? And the darker it gets, the brighter our light shining will appear. And so let's ask God to really bless the message today. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray you'd give liberty, power, and wisdom to it. May it minister to every soul here. And God, may because of today, someone's life can be restored. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Macedonians in 2 Corinthians, they first gave themselves to the Lord. In the Old Testament, there is a feast called the Feast of the First fruits, and when Israel gave the first part of the crop to the Lord, it guaranteed them harvest. And God should always be first in our life. He asks us to give him our hearts, and we do that very, very willingly. There's a great promise in the verses that we read, but it's a conditional promise. If we do this, then this happens. I think that's just the law of sowing and reaping. I desire to be a repairer and a restorer. I want to be involved in people's lives where you help them. Amen? You don't want to tear anything down. And to do that, we don't do our own ways, or seek our own pleasures, and say our own words. That would be a small price to pay for such a great blessing. If you can restore somebody's life or help somebody to find the Lord just by doing something that God would desire, maybe not something that you really were excited about, wouldn't that be a small price to pay for somebody? Amen? Any congregational participation here? Amen? Amen. It says, one of the benefits is found in verse 14. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And that's what a church ought to be, where the church is being used of God to reach people, and that's the delight of our hearts. There was a fella out of Pensacola, Florida. I can't remember his name right now, but he was Patch the Pirate. I don't know if you've ever heard any of those tapes. They'd make up all these stories, and they were for children, but I think my wife and I listened to them more than the children did. They were fun to listen to. They were animated, and we used to get them for our daughter, and when we'd ever take a trip, we'd plug them in, and she enjoyed them, but we didn't play them for her. We played them, and we'd sing along to the songs, and we'd have a good time. But one was about King Me First. I don't know if you ever heard it, but that was the king's name. It was Me First. And it was a real wonderful story about me first isn't the good thing. And he was a king, and as Patch the Pirate and his crew were sailing along, a school of selfish appeared, and they were selfish. And anyway, that was what it was all about. But it was a great, great truth, and one that we need to learn because we have the privilege of serving the Lord. In Luke 9:59, Jesus said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Me first to do this, but suffer me. In Luke 9:61, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah. You're there pretty close, but Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. And this is about Satan, and this is what he says, what it says about him. Isaiah chapter 14. We'll begin reading in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet shalt thou be brought down to hell to the sides of the north. And Satan rebelled against God and against his word and against everything holy. And it says, I will, I will, I will. Remember Jesus in the garden. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, in the book of Matthew, it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray this. Pray for God's will to be done. And we get the privilege of doing the will of God. And the will of God was accomplished in our life when we came to know Christ as our Savior, and then we began to walk and follow him and follow his will and be used of God to minister to so many people. My wife got a phone call yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, and from a lady that when we first got saved, she led to the Lord. And this lady's still in church, and they hadn't had contact forever. And it's a wonderful thing to hear about somebody that you helped to the Lord. Amen? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Who was it, Kennedy? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And everybody, yay, yay, yay. Well, it's the same principle in the church. And so we do that as a as a unit, as a oneness. In Colossians 1:18, speaking of Christ, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ is to have the preeminence in everything. That is superiority and excellence. The preeminence in worship, preeminence in everything. 3 John verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence, receiveth us not. And that should never be. We are all servants of the Lord, amen, just trying to accomplish his work and his will. In John chapter 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist said this. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's a real process. And if you've been saved for any amount of time, you see that process in your life. It doesn't matter what my will is, it matters what his will is, and that's where the delight comes in. And some people have never found the delight in that, but God wants to show that to us. Jeremiah 6:16, a lot of preparation here. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Man, that's a good invitation. Just ask for the old ways, follow the old ways, and you will find rest unto your souls. That's a blessing, amen? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest and unto your souls. It's an inward thing. But it says, but they said, we will not walk therein. Isn't that strange? That God offers so much to us, to the lost they can be saved, to the saved they can have abundant life. And all of that is offered, and yet sometimes it's not taken. How tragic that is. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. The days will come when people don't want to hear the words of the Lord. In Revelation, when you look at those seven church ages, it always says on each one, but hear what the Spirit has to say. And the Spirit guides us into all truth, and thy word is truth. 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their lust, they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And the time will come. That's what the Bible says. I think we're in those days. So, Bible says, preach the word. The Apostle Paul said, that by me the preaching might be fully known. So the Lord stood with me, and all those are wonderful things. Philippians 1:23, Paul said this, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Who is that far better for? I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul was saying, that's for me. But in the next verse, he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And so he delighted that he could do the will of God and somebody could be blessed because of it. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. This is a great story. And we won't take the time to read the entire story. But it's about two men. And one man really owes a lot to his master. And he doesn't have anything to pay. And there's another man that owes a little bit to him. And he doesn't have anything to pay. And so let's pick it up here, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times. And it's talking about forgiveness. Somebody asks for forgiveness, you forgive them. Amen? That's just a principle in the Bible. But here in verse 26, boy, I'm going to have to read more to get the whole story in here. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the word of the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him all that debt. I mean, all that debt. Now, God's been good to you, amen? And it's something, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but you're watching something on TV or you're riding down the road and here's somebody, their car, they got a flat tire and they're sitting by the side of the road and you're so thankful that your tires are working, amen? And you just go right on by, amen? You know, I'm good, and that seems to be all that's important. This man was forgiven so much, but when his servant, which just owed him a little bit, came to him, he took him by the throat, and he said, pay me all, or you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison. And, of course, the Lord heard about that, and the rest of the story is in there. But I think it's so important to recognize all the blessings that God has given us. Amen. And to be able to share those blessings with other people. And certainly our salvation is at the front of the line. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15. Judas is going to sell out Jesus. And he talks to the high priest and he says, what will you give me? And I will give him to you. I'll betray him. What will you give me? We have in Luke chapter 15. Remember there was the prodigal son's father, the prodigal son, and the elder brother. The elder brother was a picture of the Pharisee. The prodigal son was a picture of the Gentile. And the father was a picture of God. And here the son comes home from being in a long ways away from home and wasted his inheritance. And he's finally home and the father is happy and they're rejoicing and they're killing the fatted calf. And they got a robe for him and shoes on his feet and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Everybody's rejoicing. The servants are happy. Somebody gets saved in church, we ought to be happy. Amen. We ought to be overjoyed about that. But anyway, everybody's happy. But here's the elder brother. He says to his father, he went out. He was mad. And he said this to his father. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. You never gave me a party like that. Man. And it says that I might make merry with thy friends. He wasn't concerned about what God did with his brother. He wasn't concerned with what pleased his father. He wasn't concerned about why the servants were rejoicing. He was just concerned about what I didn't get. What I didn't get. What's in it for me? How will this affect me? No, it ought to be what's in it for God. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, follow me, okay, Lord, and what happens? And I will make you fishers of men. Small price to pay for such a great reward. We follow the Lord. In Sunday school, we're teaching about salvation and how to witness to somebody and win somebody to Christ. And we go through our life and we are used, we are instruments to give the gospel to somebody and personally win somebody to the Lord. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Amen? In Judges, the book of Judges, there's what's known as the Judges cycle. Six times, sin, servitude, supplication, salvation. The nation of Israel sinned. They were under bondage. They prayed, and God sent a deliverer and delivered them. Sin, servitude, supplication, and salvation. Six times that happened. And you come to the end of the book of Judges, and boy, what did they learn? Two verses. It says in Judges 17:6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The same thing. Absolutely same thing. But we have a king. Amen? We have an almighty God that we follow and we obey and we worship. And so we have purpose in this life. Psalm 12, verse 4. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? That's a terrible thing. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I think, or 31. Let all bitterness and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And all the words that God gives us. We are not to speak what our words want. We are to speak his words. Amen? We are to think his thoughts. You have Jeremiah 6:16 again. Ask for the old paths, the good way. Walk in it, and you'll have rest. But they said, we will not. Isaiah 30:21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we say, or should say, I will, Lord. We're living in a day and age where there's not a lot of faith in the Word of God. That faith, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And this is the foundation of the church. This is the foundation of our salvation. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. And we see what it says and we follow it. And God blesses it. Psalm 16:11, God's way is fullness of joy. Psalm 23, God's way is paths of righteousness. Psalm 25, his way is mercy and truth. Proverbs 4:11, God's way is the way of wisdom. He will teach us, the Bible says, and we'll walk in his paths. In Matthew 16, Jesus was speaking to Peter, and Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, your confession, I will build my church. Other foundation can no man lay, 1 Corinthians, than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. He is what we build upon. Amen? There's salvation, and how do we know we're saved? Because the Bible tells us we're saved. You ever not feel saved? Join the club, you know? You get there. Boy, did I really, you know, am I really saved? But you come back to the Word of God all the time, and he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And so this is how the church is built. We all go home and we watch TV. Maybe you watch the news. Maybe you watch a movie. And God comes down and God physically puts the walls up and puts new carpet in. And God is doing all this. Amen. And God puts a message on the sign. No, we are his hands. And we are the body of Christ. He is the head. And he uses us to build this church. If God doesn't build it, we labor in vain. It's not just what we do. It's God's power behind it in his word and his truth. It's his plan. It's his way. Colossians 1:18, he's the head of the body of the church. So he does that. And to build a church is to understand and fulfill the word and the will of God. That's why we're here. Amen. I enjoy coming to church. Today we're going to have cake. I mean, I will enjoy that, but that's not why I come. If there was no cake, I'd still come. Amen? You enjoy coming to church because the sermons are so interesting. And if they weren't, if you're not and out or whatever, it's still the Word of God going out. Amen? And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. It just honors God to come to church. We've got soft seats. But, you know, some places I've been, they had wooden benches. And they just, you know, this is temperature controlled. Amen? And some places aren't. Mexico's one of them. And you're hoping that the preacher there, because I always would dress like the preacher, you're hoping that he just has a shirt on, a short sleeve shirt. And I've gone into some of those churches and he's got a suit and tie on. And I'm thinking, oh, great. You know, but you do it just to honor the Lord or to honor that pastor, whatever. Amen. So we are here today honoring God. We're going to hear something through the message that will help us to serve the Lord. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. In the ministry, there are church planters. I had the privilege of starting two churches in my ministry. And you go into an area, there's not a church there, and you plant a church. And you leave a church there. That's a blessing, and those churches prosper. So they're called church planters. But sometimes they're just church pastors. They are men that are called to another church for various reasons. And they go to a church, and they try and be a blessing to that church. The Apostle Paul was a church planter. He went everywhere. He did all those missions trips. That's in the book of Acts. But obviously there are pastors. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Because if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. We don't need a form. We need God. We need his power to do something in our church. And he does that through us individually. And so I have planted, Apollos watered. Where are we? You say, well, I didn't plant this church. No, but somebody did, and you can look on a bulletin board and see who did. And you can see all the pastors that have come since the church was started, except one. There's pictures of all of them, except one there's no picture of. And I'm not going to tell you who that is. Amen? And I don't know if that's a foreboding or what, but anyway. I have planted, who planted this church? Anybody know his name? It's your heritage. Who? Bob Klein didn't start this church. Yeah, the pastor. Who was the pastor? Gordon? Was Gordon the first pastor? Okay, well, you need to look at the board because that's your heritage. That's your heritage. Somebody planted this church, and then somebody watered this church. And that's what you're doing now. But God gives the increase. You bring somebody to church, they get saved, or you win somebody to the Lord. That's all because of what God is doing here. Amen? So we thank the Lord for that. To build a church, the body has to work together. To build a church, the body has to be healthy. To build a church, the body has to repair itself, restore itself, reproduce itself. 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Paul said that. I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Somebody that, whoever that pastor was, came here, gave his life, gave his time, so that this church could be born. And we build thereon, and we're to take heed how we do that. I have come. This is not my work. I'm pastoring this church. I did not start this work. I have started churches, but somebody else is building. And that church can go on if the people water it, if the people build it, if the people pray for it. Job chapter 21 and verse 15. What is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? What an amazing statement. What do I get out of this? Well, you get out of it that souls are saved, that missionaries are supported, that the work of God goes on, that God is honored. Amen? And we ought to be thrilled because of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They first gave them their own selves unto the Lord, and the feast of the first fruits. If we give God the first fruits, the first place in our life, not doing our own will, our own words, our own pleasures, our own time, but his, then there will be a harvest. That's what we can learn from that text. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless your word today. Lord, what a precious word is it is. And Lord, I pray that we would all see the vision of this. We'd all see what you can do with us here. And may we serve you, love you, worship you. May this place be a lighthouse of glory for you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please. If you would stand, just bow your heads and close your eyes and just talk to the Lord. Ask him to help you.